yes or no, and the class goes back to work. A few seconds later, you see another hand up. You say, Carlos? And the whole class stops to look at you and Carlos. Carlos says, I need your help. An appropriate request. You say, wait a minute, and the class goes back to work. Every time you speak, you interrupt the class. These interruptions can occur frequently, often two or three times a minute. You would be distracted if the principal beamed announcements two or three times a day, no less two or three times a minute. Before you complain that the principal creates too many interruptions during the day, consider how many times a teacher interrupts a class when the students are concentrating on their work. Student methods for getting the teacher's attention without interrupting the class. Hand signal. The student signals with different numbers of fingers. Toilet tissue tube. The student signals with a colored tube. Styrofoam cup. The student signals with the position of a cup. Index card. The student signals with a message on an index card. Textbook. The student signals with an upright textbook. Hand signal. With this technique, the students signal the teacher with a predetermined number of fingers. The number of fingers raised corresponds to a predetermined request established by the teacher. Post a sign on the wall with your hand signal chart. Then train your students to use the system. If they wish to speak, they are to raise the index finger. If they wish to leave their seat, they are to raise two fingers. If they need your help, they are to raise three fingers. If they need to go to the bathroom, they cross two fingers. When you see a signal, silently respond to the signal with a nod or shake of the head or a gesture of the hand. To obtain the teacher's attention, raise one finger, I wish to speak, two fingers, I wish to leave my seat, three fingers, I need your help. The important thing is that the class is not disturbed. A difference in the noise level alone. Dear Rosemary, we really enjoyed seeing you again at our symposia. The wonderfully creative and practical ideas you gave us will be put to good use. My husband is already using your hand signals in his grade 5 and 6 classroom, and he can't believe the difference it has made in the noise level alone. Thanks again for all of the above, and so much more. Debbie Fraser, Kinburn, Ontario, Canada. Toilet tissue tube. Use an empty toilet tissue tube and wrap one end with red construction paper and the other end with green construction paper. The tube is placed with the green end up on the student's desk. The procedure when the student wants the teacher's attention is to turn the tube so the red end is up and to continue to work. When the teacher comes to help the student, the green end is turned back up. Styrofoam cup. Tape a short length of string to the bottom of a styrofoam cup. Styrofoam cups are noiseless. Tape the other end of the string near the edge of the desktop and leave the cup dangling off the table. The procedure when the student wants the teacher's attention is to place the cup on the desk and to continue to work. Index card. Fold and tape an index card into a three-sided pyramid. On one side write, please help me. On another side write, please keep working. Leave the third side blank. Place the card on the table so the blank side is facing the student. The procedure when the student wants the teacher's attention is to turn the card so that, please help me is facing forward. The student sees, please keep working, and is reminded to continue to work. Textbook. High school teachers may appreciate this simple system. The procedure when the student wants the teacher's attention is to take a textbook and place it in an upright position and to continue to work. Instructional procedures for student learning. Just as there are classroom procedures that organize the structure of the classroom, there are instructional procedures that govern the academic work of the students. Some basic instructional procedures include the following. 1. How to work in groups. 2. How to take lecture notes. 3. How to read the textbook. 4. How to do the homework. 5. How to summarize each day's learning. These procedures apply to any subject or content area. Just as classroom procedures lay the foundation for structuring the classroom, instructional procedures lay the foundation for acquiring information and learning. What if procedures do not work? They just won't stop talking. What about the kid who blurts out? What if... Here are the 4 most frequently asked questions about procedures. 1. What if they do not do the procedure? I tell them, I remind them over and over again, and they just will not do it, is the anguished statement made most often. Just telling someone will not get them to do it. A procedure must be rehearsed and rehearsed. 2. What if they forget the procedure? Students forget and blurt out in class. We all forget. A student knows the procedure but just forgets. There is no need to rehearse it again, as there is a much better, quicker, and saner way. Just say, "And what's the procedure, please?" Stand in front of a mirror and calmly repeat this statement over and over again 1,000 times until it becomes an automatic response to you. This is the statement. And what's the procedure, please? And what's the procedure, please? And what's the procedure, please? Repeat it 1,000 times. Do it calmly and with a firm but caring smile. The next time you see a student do something that should not be done, the next time a student blurts out, simply go over to the student and with no anger or stress and with a firm but pleasant smile, just say, "And what's the procedure, please?" The statement and body language are not confrontational. It's a question. After the student corrects himself or herself, acknowledge the response with a smile and go on with teaching. 3. What if a new student comes into the classroom? Refer to the section, "How to Teach a New Student All the Class Procedures," earlier in this chapter. 4. What do I do if all else fails? Assuming you have mastered the skill of how to teach a procedure, and the student just will not cooperate and be part of the class procedures, you have the alternative of turning the procedure into a rule. Be sure you know the difference between a procedure and a rule. If you choose to convert the procedure into a rule, inform the student there will be a consequence. Follow through on this consequence the next time the procedure is not followed. The decision is yours to make. With consequences comes enforcement and compliance, maybe even coercion. Think twice, because it may still be easier to try and teach the responsibility of doing a procedure. Helping the at-risk student. Students who are at risk can be helped. Students who are labeled at risk are really at-promise kids, a much more positive expectation of what you want the outcome to be. At-risk has nothing to do with the student's intelligence, gender, skin color, national origin, or socioeconomic background. At-risk means the student is in danger, at risk, of failing or dropping out of school. The reason a student is failing is typically because the student has not done the work, and failure to do the work results in failing grades in the classroom. Most at-promise students are failing because they have not been taught many of the academic procedures discussed in Unit D. These techniques offer at-promise students opportunities to succeed. How to take lecture notes, how to read a book, how to do the homework, how to work in groups, how to understand the assignment, how to study for the test, and a plethora of other things students are expected to do in the classroom. Note the word do rather than behave. Go be. Procedures at home. Lena Nuccio Lee was having problems with her two kids leaving clothes all over the floor. How she solved this problem is in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 19 at EffectiveTeaching.com. Here is the number one solution for helping At Promise students. They need structure. In a well-managed classroom, students are taught how to do things. They are taught structure, the structure of how to do things. We compound the disadvantage of students who are at risk when we place them in a classroom that lacks structure. Translation, disorganized and chaotic. The effective classroom has structure. Procedures plus routines create structure. Effective teachers manage and instruct with procedures and routines. Procedures give students and teachers structure. Many students come from dysfunctional, unstructured homes. The effective teacher provides structure so students have something familiar and secure they can rely on. Having special procedures is reassuring to a student. It gives the student something to fall back on. Procedures don't have to be elaborate, but they need to have a certain regularity, consistency. They can be as simple as knowing where to line up for an elementary student and knowing where to go quickly in the face of danger for a secondary student. It's ironic that teachers have a lounge where they can retreat, but students do not have a safe haven where they can retreat. Once you have procedures in place, you can have responsible students. The only way to have responsible students and to help students who may be at risk is to have procedures and routines for which the students can feel responsible. Go be. You're worth it. Teaching is not easy. It is hard work with rewards that are life-altering. In the Go Beyond folder for Chapter 19 at EffectiveTeaching.com are some reminders of your value and worth to the world. Procedures to rehearse with students. Entering the classroom. Getting to work immediately. Listening to and responding to questions. Participating in class discussions. Keeping your desk orderly. Checking out classroom materials. Indicating whether or not you understand. Coming to attention. Working cooperatively. Changing groups. Keeping your notebook. Going to the office. Knowing the schedule for the day or class. Keeping a progress report. Finding directions for each assignment. Passing in papers. Exchanging papers. Returning student work. Getting materials without disturbing others. Handing out playground materials. Moving about the room. Going to the library or tech center. Structuring headings on papers. Returning to a task after an interruption. Asking a question. Walking in the hall during class time. Responding to a fire drill. Responding to an earthquake. Responding to a severe weather alert. Saying thank you. When you are tardy. End of period class dismissal. When you need a pencil or paper. When you are absent. When you need help or conferencing. When you finish early. When a school-wide announcement is made. When visitors are in the classroom. If the teacher is out of the classroom. If you are suddenly ill. Procedures and routines established early in the school year free up the rest of the year to devote to teaching and learning in the content areas. Remember, it is the procedures that set up the class for success to take place. You seemingly waste a little time at the beginning to gain time at the end. Lim Chai Tin. The effective teacher, 1, has well thought out and structured procedures for every activity. 2, teaches the procedures for each activity early in the year. 3, rehearses the class so procedures become class routines. 4, reinforces a procedure when appropriate and reteaches a procedure when necessary. 20. How procedures improve the opportunity to learn. The key idea? Student learning improves in a well-managed classroom. Power comes when you make life predictable for people. Howard Stevenson. Organized and predictable. Effective teachers have invisible procedures. Observers in the classroom don't see them, but they know they exist. That is why effective teachers' classrooms run so smoothly. When you walk into a room, you do not pay attention to the floor, but if it were missing, you would. It's the same with classroom management. Teachers who have a well-managed classroom have invisible procedures. The class just flows along smoothly with student learning. That's because effective teachers spend time during the first week of school organizing and structuring their classrooms for student learning. The most important factor that must be established the first day and first week of school is consistency. Consistency means the classroom is organized and predictable. There are no surprises. The teacher and the students know how the class is structured and run. The students know what to do. They know the procedures. For instance, the students know the procedures for coming to attention, entering the classroom and starting work, asking for help, walking down the hall, riding in buses or cars. In the instructional realm, they know the procedures for bell work, taking lecture notes, working in a group, studying for a test, distributing materials. As a result of these procedures, the teacher is not constantly yelling or ordering the students what to do. The students know what to do and are learning in a well-organized classroom. More procedures. Unit D has more instructional procedures. Note-taking, reading a textbook, homework. A place of acceptance. School is a sanctuary for many kids. They do not come to school to be yelled at and screamed at. Kids come to school to belong. They want to be accepted, and they want to learn. Procedures produce permanent change. Students who know what to do in the classroom produce results, and results produce learning and achievement. This is because students take responsibility and ownership for the tasks that need to be done, resulting in fewer behavioral or discipline problems and increased academic learning time. Procedures result in permanent behavior changes. Handling behavioral problems only results in temporary behavior changes. Stated in a similar manner, effective teachers manage their classrooms with procedures and routines. Ineffective teachers discipline their classrooms with threats and punishments. A teacher with no opening morning routine is inviting disaster in the classroom the first day and every day of the school year. In Chapter 19, we shared classroom procedures that include class dismissal, quieting a class, students wanting teacher's help, helping at-risk students. In this chapter, we will present classroom procedures for starting a class, movement of paper, transition, the pencil problem. In this chapter, we will also address instructional procedures for dividing into groups, structuring group activities. Remember, there are specific steps for teaching a procedure. Teach, rehearse, and reinforce. If you need to review this technique, go back to Chapter 19. You'll create many more procedures that apply to your classroom environment. The more procedures you have in place, the more you will maximize the time students have to learn. Morning procedure. 1. Enter the classroom. 2. Take your chair down. 3. Take your backpack off. 4. Take your folder out. 5. Check your calendar. 6. Make your lunch count. 7. Start your bell work.
Procedure for the start of the period or day. Effective teachers always have the procedure for the day posted or ready for distribution when the students arrive. This procedure should be implemented consistently so it becomes a routine for the students.
This is an example of a procedure for the beginning of the school day. It is used by one particular teacher, but it may not apply to many other teachers. Examples are helpful because effective teachers can look at an example and modify it to use in their own grade levels or for a particular subject matter. Preparation is critical. A carpenter will have all the tools accounted for before he begins the job. A surgeon will have the instruments ready before beginning the surgery. A chef will have all the food items and kitchenware ready before taking the first order. Procedures for the movement of paper. If your students are sitting in columns and rows, it is more effective to have them pass their papers across the rows to the side of the room than up the row to the front of the room. Why? Here are the problems with passing papers up the rows to the front of the room. 1. If papers are passed up the row, you cannot see what is happening behind each student's back as you stand at the front of the room waiting for the papers. 2. Some students tap, poke, shove, and hit the back of the student in front to announce that the papers are coming up the row. Others wave the papers in the face of the student in front. No matter what is done, the student in front is irritated, words are spoken, and the disturbance in the class increases. 3. When papers are passed from hand to hand, some papers may fall to the floor. It follows that the more students who handle the papers, the more likely it is that papers will fall, which detracts from valuable learning time. 4. There are frequently more students up a given row than across rows, therefore more students handle a stack of papers. 5. Thus, passing papers up a row takes longer to accomplish and is frequently accompanied by student agitation. We've established that there are advantages to passing papers across rows to the side of the room. Now we need to establish a procedure. Step 1. Have the students place their papers on the desk next to theirs, starting with the student at one end of the row. Step 2. The next student is to add his or her paper to the stack and place the papers on the next desk. Do not have the students pass the papers from hand to hand. This will eliminate flicking of papers as they are passed. Step 3. As the students pass the papers from desk to desk, monitor the procedure, making adjustments and corrections when necessary, and praising students when appropriate. Step 4. Walk to the side of the room and look across all the rows to monitor the procedure. This tactic allows you to see across the rows, whereas you cannot see behind the backs of students when you stand in front of the room while they are passing papers forward. Step 5. Pick up the papers or ask a student to pick up all the papers. If the students are sitting at tables instead of chairs in a row, have the students place their papers at the head of the table. Point to the designated spot. Have students or an aide pick up the papers or do so yourself. It is not a good procedure to have the students place their papers in a basket on the teacher's desk. This procedure involves too much movement and often results in a mess. Sometimes papers are claimed to be turned in when in reality they are still in the student's possession. Whatever procedure you choose to use for collecting papers, rehearse the procedure the first time you collect papers. The procedure for transition. There will be transitions all day long. You can't prevent it. Times and schedules are mandated. Students go from one activity to another, from one class to another, from one teacher to another. There's recess, break time, lunch time, assembly time, club time, and a host of other things happening at school. Transitions can also include quickly moving from reading books to completing worksheets, from watching a video to participating in a discussion, from writing to recitations, from cleanup to preparations for class dismissal. You want transitions in your classroom. Nothing would be so boring as to sit in one chair for 7 hours doing one task day after day. No matter the transition, a procedure will help make it happen smoothly, without turmoil or commotion. Effective teachers have procedures that quickly facilitate transition time. Students do not perform well when given an abrupt order to do something else. To help students ease into a transition, you must prepare them for it. It's best to say, "In 2 minutes, I will want you to..." Transition is difficult for some students to handle because it requires a student to do 3 things at one time. 1. Close one task. 2. Prepare for another task. 3. Refocus on a new task. The key to a good transition is clarity and simplicity of instruction. Keep it short, simple, and easy to do. Step 1. Close. Give the student a time warning. In 2 minutes, I will say change, or a word of your choice. Step 2. Prepare. When I say change, I would like you to close or put away. Step 3. Refocus. Then get your history book out, turn to page 222, and start with question 3. In addition to verbal instructions, always write the page number and question number on the board. Remember that you are asking someone, a young person perhaps, to do step 3 while they are trying to process steps 1 and 2. When the transition begins, do not talk during the transition time. Talking distracts the student's ability to switch properly. If constant directions are being given, then your transition instructions are not short, simple, and easy to do. Watch carefully, and if someone is not shifting properly, give a firm smile and a hand signal or point to the directions on the board. The student will understand. Everyone returns on time. If you have ever heard Harry Wong speak, then you know his audiences number in the hundreds and thousands, yet he can successfully motivate everyone to return from a break on time. He does not say, "Okay, let's take a break." What happens is people take a long break and saunter in gradually, standing in the aisles and talking until another set of instructions is issued. He does not say, "Let's take a 20-minute break." No one clocks the interval, and people just gradually come back in when they see others beginning to return. Instead, Harry says, "Here's the procedure for the break." And there are always playful chuckles from the audience when they hear the word procedure, but they understand. "Please do not leave until I finish explaining the procedure. At 10:55 a.m., please be back in your seat, not walking in or standing in the aisle. Please be in your seat at 10:55. And when I raise my hand, I would like it quiet so that I can begin immediately on how to distribute materials in 1 minute and get everything back in 1 minute without anything being broken or stolen." Then he asks, "May I see a show of hands if there is anyone who does not understand the procedure?" No hands go up. What's he doing? He's using a very common procedure used by all effective teachers. He is asking for validation that they understand the procedure. In 20 minutes, or at 10:55 a.m., he stands on the stage facing 1,000 people, raises his hand, and smiles as the crowd comes to a hush in under 5 seconds. Try this at a faculty meeting, in Sunday school, or at any club meeting. The transition technique works. Transition Tunes. Robin Barlack teaches preschool special education in Ohio. The students in her class sing their transition procedures. They sing the following tunes: Good Morning Song, Snack Song, Cleanup Song, Goodbye Song. Her students eagerly anticipate each sing-along time. Procedure to solve the pencil problem. Don't get upset. Don't spend time muttering about the lack of responsibility these days. Don't waste another precious moment of learning time in the classroom. Don't fight it. Just give them a pencil. Prepare two cans. One can is labeled New Pencils and has sharpened pencils in it. The other can is labeled Used Pencils. Put the cans at the entrance to the classroom. As students enter, they can select a sharpened pencil to use during the class period or school day. At the end of the class or day, the students return their pencils to the Used Pencils can as they exit the room. Appoint a class helper to sharpen the pencils for use the next day or period. There will be no more whining, "I forgot my pencil, I can't do my work today." This is just one way to handle the pencil problem. As part of an end-of-day procedure, some elementary teachers have students put a sharpened pencil in their mail cubby and retrieve it upon entering the next morning. With their pencils sharpened the day before, the students are ready to write as soon as they enter the classroom. The concept is simple. If the student doesn't have a pencil, have one available to use. You design the procedure that works for you and your students to achieve that goal. The same procedure applies to pencil points that break during class time. Instead of the constant grinding of the pencil sharpener, use your New Pencils pencil can for the replacement pencils. The students put the pencil with the broken point in the Used Pencils can and take one for use from the New Pencils can. It's a procedure that only involves the student with the broken pencil point and not the entire class. Code Red. There is no more important procedure than to have one for an emergency drill. This may be for an impending weather problem such as a tornado or hurricane, severe thunderstorm, or for an earthquake. It may be for an intruder on campus or for campus violence. Perhaps you have been in a store and you've heard seemingly innocuous messages like, "Code 99 in women's shoes, come over the sound system." These are in-house codes used to call someone for assistance or to alert the employees of an emergency. In some schools, Code Red comes through the speakers and is used to tell the teachers to put a procedure into place pending further information. To guard against upsetting students and parents, letters explaining the drill should be sent home before the students are even rehearsed in the procedure. Tell the students, "We don't expect anything terrible to happen to you. This is just to keep you safe." Drop and cover is a signal to get out of the line of fire and protect yourself. It's what law enforcement people recommend if anyone is near gunfire. In California, where an earthquake can strike instantly, the students have 2 seconds to duck under a desk when the teacher yells, "Duck and cover!" In Saskatchewan, Canada, teacher Lori J. has the class roster Velcroed next to the door jamb. She is ready to grab the class roster when the class leaves for a fire drill or if they have to evacuate quickly. Be prepared. Emergencies come without warning. The better you and the students are prepared for an emergency, the greater the chances are of coming through it unharmed. Compete only against yourself. The message to your students is this: there is only one person in the world you need to compete against, and that is yourself. Strive each day to be the best person possible. Your mission in life is not to get ahead of other people. Your mission is to get ahead of yourself. While you are competing against yourself, you are expected to work with everyone else in this classroom cooperatively and respectfully. You are responsible not only for your own learning, but for the learning of your groupmates as well. Factors of success. The number after the item indicates the chapter in this book where more information can be found. Enhancing positive expectations, 6. Using first day of school activities, 7. Dressing for success, 8. Involving the home, 9. Using invitational learning, 9. Using the 5 appropriate words, 10. Implementing effective classroom management strategies, 11. Having the classroom ready with a positive atmosphere, 12. Introducing yourself properly, 13. Arranging and assigning seating, 14. Posting and starting assignments immediately, 15. Taking role quickly, 16. Investing time on teaching the discipline plan, 18. Rehearsing procedures and routines, 19. Sharing the purpose of the lesson, 21. Giving tests that have purpose, 22. Explaining that students can govern the grade they earn, 23. Go B. How to motivate your students. The lack of structure in classrooms often interferes with the learning process. Ways you can motivate your students to learn are in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 20 at effectiveteaching.com. Procedures for groups. Developmental psychologist Jean Piaget is credited with saying that kids learn best by doing and then thinking about what they've done. Hands-on, minds-open learning is one of the best methods to engage students in their own learning. Analyzing data from the National Assessment Report on 14,000 eighth-grade math and science tests, Educational Testing Service found the following. Students whose teacher conducted hands-on learning activities outperformed their peers by about 70% of a grade level in math and 40% in science. An added value of having students involved in group activities is they are getting the training in leadership, group decision-making, and conflict management they'll need to be successful in later life. The better the students work together, the more learning that takes place. Group learning is a structured situation. There are procedures to learn so that during the activity, the students clarify opinions, compare impressions, share solutions, and develop skills for leadership and teamwork. A group of people who care for and are committed to one another are going to achieve the goal of an activity more quickly than if each were to attempt the task alone. How to divide your class into groups. The question is not how to divide the class, but rather how quickly and smoothly the class will divide itself when the students are asked to do so. Some teachers have no problems dividing their students into groups. When told to, the students do it rapidly and with ease. Other teachers have problems getting their students to divide into groups. When told to do so, the students whine, complain, and even refuse to work with other people. Why? Effective grouping is dependent on two major factors. 1, the class climate. 2, the explanation. The class climate. Quite simply, if the students dislike the class or the teacher or are not successful, grouping will be difficult. It is important that all the determinants of successful student cooperation be in place before the class is divided into groups. These are the determining factors that may affect student cooperation. When students do not cooperate, the ineffective teacher helplessly wonders, "What am I supposed to do?" and looks for a quick fix to resolve the crisis. There are no quick fixes in education. Implicit in the factors of success list is a fact that it is the teacher who is responsible for the success of the classroom. The effective teacher knows this. The explanation. How quickly students move into groups depends on how explicitly the teacher explains why groups will be formed and how. Okay, divide into groups of 4 is not how groups are set up. Vague directions like this are sure to provoke comments like these. Can I work with Andrew? Do I have to work with Charlotte? How long do I have to stay in this group? There is no need to solicit class input on grouping because there will be no permanent groups in the class. Simply use this as a guide and tell your students the following. Number of people in a group. The class will be divided into groups many times. Each time there is a need for a group, the size of the group and the people in the group will depend on the nature of the activity. Some activities may take 2 people, others may take 4, 8, or whatever. In fact, whatever number is needed, that will be the number of people in the group. Length of time in a group. Each time the class is divided into groups, the length of the group activity will depend on the nature of the activity. Some activities may take 2 minutes, others may take 2 days or 2 weeks. When the activity is finished, the group will be disbanded. Teaching young people to work well in groups will not happen overnight. Teaching the procedures for group work occurs incrementally and requires time, patience, and constant reinforcement. The societal shift from teaching students to think for themselves to a Y-generation era of people thinking with each other in teams sets well the stage for group activities in the classroom. Students inherently like to work and play together, so the problem is not student participation or interaction. It is inadequate instructions. When the directions, whether verbal or written, do not state what is to be done and what is to be accomplished, the students will create their own version. The teacher must structure and write the activity for maximum understanding before the activity begins. How smoothly students move into groups depends on how clearly the teacher explains the mechanics and responsibilities of the group assignment. They knew the names of only 6 students. Here is part of a letter we received after presenting a workshop to a group of student teachers at a local college. One of the student teachers tried something in her class to test out one of your ideas. She handed out a blank seating chart to her 9th grade class and asked all the students to fill in the seating chart, giving first and last names. Only about 80% of the kids seemed to have more than 2/3 of the names correct. Many of them knew only first names, and there were even a few students who could name only 6 or 8 students sitting right around them out of a class of 35. The letter was dated May 20th, so these student teachers were in a classroom that had been together for 9 months. In addition, there were 2 teachers in the room, a cooperating teacher and a student teacher. Yet at the end of the year, few of the students really knew one another. When you have a situation like this, students will misbehave. They will refuse to work together and will be reluctant to participate in group activities. When students refuse to work together, the teacher may be to blame. The idea that people working together toward a common goal can accomplish more than people working by themselves is a well-established principle of social psychology. Robert Slavin. How to structure group activities. Corporations spend hundreds of millions of dollars to find and train people to work together. Likewise, the effective teacher invests time to teach and train students to work together. 1. Specify the group name. Learning together is epitomized by the concept of a support group. There are support groups for people trying to lose weight, stop addictions, overcome fears, and learn parenting skills. Support groups exist for single parents, senior citizens, abused children, battered wives, and war veterans. Networking groups, startup groups, even CEO groups support each other in expanding their businesses. Consider calling your groups support groups, and each member of the support group a support buddy. A support group is formed by people with like needs and goals who join together to care for and help one another solve problems and achieve success. Support groups in the classroom are formed for the same reason. specify the group size. The size of the group is a factor of how many jobs are needed to complete the activity. For instance, in a group of four, student one is responsible for getting the materials and returning them to the appropriate place when the day or period is over. Student two is responsible for seeing that the steps of the activity are followed. Student three is responsible for making observations, recording data, and taking minutes while the activity progresses. Student four is responsible for overseeing the writing of the group report. Three, state the purpose, materials, and steps of the activity. The students must be assigned an activity that is structured enough so they will know what is to be done and how to do it. Go B. Distributing materials. A student can distribute materials and have everything returned in a few minutes. Read how it's done in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 20 at effectiveteaching.com. 4. Teach the procedures. Here are four procedures for you to consider with your students. You are responsible for your own job and the results of the group. In the working world, you are responsible for your own job and the results of the people you work with. If you have a question, ask your support buddies. Do not ask your teacher. In the working world, you do not raise your hand for help. You seek, ask, research, and Google because you are expected to act on your own initiative. You must be willing to help if a support buddy asks you for help. In the working world, you are expected to apply teamwork skills. If no one can answer a question, then agree on a consensus question and appoint one person to raise a hand for help from the teacher. In the working world, negotiating and reaching agreements are the keys to success. 5. Hold the individuals accountable for the work of the team. The teacher acts as consultant to the group after setting the objectives, assignments, and procedures. Problems are turned back to the group for resolution. The support groups are to cooperatively write reports and give team presentations. The students are accountable for the quality of their group work and the results of their work. The support group will get a group grade, and that grade will be each individual's grade, so it is important that each member of the group support the other's achievement efforts and contribute equally to the group's success. 6. Teach evaluation methods students can use to determine how successfully they have worked together. Tell your students to write down the group procedures. Use the sample activity that follows for a list of the procedures. After each procedure, have students state whether the support group followed the procedure most of the time, sometimes, or not at all. For each procedure, have the support group discuss how they can improve their team skills. The procedures that must be discussed are those that received a rating of most of the time. By reviewing them and being aware of why they followed certain procedures most of the time, students can apply their successful ways of working together toward improving those procedures that were rated lower. Sample activity. In this activity, you will be working in support groups of four. Your teacher will choose the members of the support group. The reason you work in support groups is because when you discuss new ideas with your classmates, you understand the ideas better. Sometimes you will work with your friends, and sometimes not. No matter who your support buddies are, your responsibility is to help one another understand and complete the activity. This is why you are called support buddies. Your teacher will explain what jobs need to be done. Either the teacher will choose or you will be asked to choose who does which job. You need to work together and talk about your assignment so that each member of the support group understands what your group has done and why. When it is time for your support group to report to the class, your teacher will call on only one member of your group. That member will explain the support group's results, so make sure that you all know what is happening before you get called on. When your support group looks good, you look good. How do propellers work? Background. Some airplanes and helicopters fly because of propellers. As the shape and pitch, angle, of the blade change, different results are obtained. Problem. How many different ways can you design a propeller blade? How does each design perform? What is your evaluation of each design? Support group jobs. Equipment manager. Your job is to obtain the materials needed for the activity and to make sure that they are returned to the appropriate place at the end of the designated time. Facilitator. Your job is to make sure that the group is following each step of the activity carefully and correctly. Recorder. Your job is to observe, take minutes, and record data. You need to see that the support group has the proper forms to record the results of the activity as they occur. Reporter. Your job is to coordinate the writing of the group report. Materials. Binder paper, scissors, and a paperclip. Activity steps. 1. Cut a piece of binder paper across its width into 2-inch strips. 2. Cut and fold the paper as shown in Figure 1. 3. Hold and release the paper as shown in Figure 2. 4. Try different versions of the helicopter. 5. Observe and record each result. Support group procedures. Move into your groups quickly and quietly. Stay with your group in your area. Do your job. Help each other. Follow the activity steps listed above. Support group responsibilities. 1. The facilitator needs to make sure that everyone has read and discussed the activity before beginning to work. Do not start until everyone knows the purpose of the activity, what needs to be done, activity steps, and what everyone needs to do, support group procedures and responsibilities. 2. The equipment manager needs to see that the materials are collected. 3. The recorder needs to see that a record page is set up on which to record what is to be observed. This can be a form for taking minutes, a table for recording numbers, or a chart for writing observations. Do not start until the record page has been set up. 4. The facilitator takes the group through the activity steps as a moderator would take a meeting through its agenda. 5. At all times, the members of the support group must cooperatively and respectfully help each other by following the activity steps and the support group procedures. 6. The support group must help the recorder record the results of the activity. 7. The reporter coordinates the writing of the group report. Make sure that everyone in the support group can explain the activity, its purpose, steps, and results. When everyone can explain the purpose and results of the activity, all the members of the group should sign their names to the group report. Thank you. Learning is an individual activity, but not a solitary one. It is more effective when it takes place within a supportive community of learners. The more time students work together and the more responsibilities students take for their work, the greater the learning that takes place. Go B. Hallway procedure. With a school-wide procedure in place, the movement of students in halls is very efficient. Read how it's done in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 20 at effectiveteaching.com. A plan in place. Sarah Jondal, a teacher in California, was ready the first day of her teaching career with a specific, consistent classroom management action plan in a binder. Although the binder took months of work to compile, her plan resulted in her success from the very first minute of her teaching career. Sarah's plan includes a letter she sends to her students prior to the first day of school. It tells a little about her background and sets her students' expectations for lots of work and learning. It also contains the class's first homework assignment. She scripted or planned the first day of school as follows. Greet each student at the door. Direct them toward their assigned seats, alphabetical. Tell children to read and follow the instructions written on the board, the bell work. Introduce herself. Teach classroom procedures. Teach classroom rules, consequences, and rewards. Communicate the expectations of the classroom. Two major problems in a classroom are movement and noise. Sarah had these solved on her first day of school. She planned out exactly how her students were to enter the classroom in the morning, come in from recess, line up to leave the classroom, get ready for lunch, walk in the halls, and get ready for dismissal. She then taught and rehearsed her students in how to be successful with the procedures. Today, Sarah is an experienced teacher, and she says, "My classroom management plan is based on establishing procedures I learned from the book The First Days of School. Having procedures in place from day one and teaching my students about these procedures made the educational experience in my classroom extremely effective." Teachers like Sarah Jondal will succeed in any kind of a school because it truly makes no difference what grade level or subject you teach, whether you teach in a public, private, or charter school, whether your school is traditional or year-round, or whether your students are urban or rural. All effective teachers have procedures to assist in managing a classroom and maximizing learning time. Sarah's sample procedures. These are some of the procedures and routines Sarah has ready to teach on the first day and the first week of school. Steal from her list of ideas as you plan for your classroom. Entering the classroom. Students enter the classroom quietly and calmly, put their belongings away quickly according to the morning routine, and do the bell work. Bell work. Each morning there is a bell work assignment on the board or overhead projector. Students enter the classroom and get started on the assignment. Quieting the class. The teacher raising her hand quiets the class. Taking class roll. A student is taught the procedure of how to be the attendance keeper. This student places an absent folder on that desk of the student who is absent. A glance around the room can quickly establish who is absent. Class motto. Every morning the class says the classroom motto, which is posted on the wall in the front of the room. Everyone stands and says the motto together to start off our day. Collecting seat work. Work is collected according to the configuration of the desks. If the desks are arranged in rows, students collect their seat work by passing the papers across their rows. Students seated at tables collect their work by placing their finished papers in the middle of their table. The student whose job is to collect papers walks around the room and picks up each table's stack of papers and puts them in the finished work basket at the front of the room. Turning in work. There are two baskets placed in the front of the room. One basket is labeled classwork, and the other is labeled homework. Children place their work in the appropriate basket. Notes from home. Students place any notes from home in the basket labeled notes from home. Restroom breaks. Individual students are allowed to go to the bathroom 4 times a month without having a tally pulled. They use their daily agendas as their pass and have the teacher sign and date when they are going. Only one student may use the restroom at a time. Students are excused as a class to go to the restroom during lunch and recess. Going to lunch. Students form 2 lines by the outside door, one for home lunches and one for school lunches. The students buying their lunches line up in alphabetical order. Students are picked up after lunch on the blacktop as they wait in the area of their classroom number. Numbers are painted on the blacktop. Cafeteria. Students follow the cafeteria procedures as well as the classroom rules. Students clean up their sitting areas after they are done. Students should be on their best behavior by saying please and thank you. Working in learning groups. Students are placed in teacher-chosen groups at all times. They are reminded of the procedures for support groups. 1. You are responsible for your own work. 2. You are to ask a support buddy for help if you have a question. 3. You must help if you are asked for help. 4. You may ask for help from the teacher after the entire group agrees on a question. Selecting monitors. Students are chosen to do things in class by picking a popsicle stick from the can labeled "Pick a Stick." Each student's name is written on the bottom of a popsicle stick. The sticks are all placed in a can. The teacher draws a stick to pick students for a variety of things. Pinning up classwork. Students pin up their work on the clothesline at the front of the classroom. Whenever an activity that requires glue or paint is completed, the clothesline is used to hang the paper to dry. At the end of the day, students remove their dried papers and stack them in the classwork basket. Keeping the noise level down. A traffic signal is used to remind students of the noise level for the classroom. A large cutout stoplight is hung in the front of the room with 3 black circles and a hook on each circle. Green, yellow, and red circles have been cut to fit over the black circles. The red circle is hung from its hook to indicate silent time, the yellow circle for whisper time, and the green circle for talk freely time. Classical music is played during class time. Children keep their noise levels lower than the sound of the music. Sending notes home. Notes to go home to parents at the end of the day are placed in the cubbies. This is the cubby keeper's job to do. Students are responsible for sharing all of the notes with parents each evening. When a student is absent. When a student is absent, an absent folder with a yellow sticker is placed on that student's desk. Copies of all papers passed out during class or any notes that need to go home are placed inside the folder. When the student comes back to school, he or she knows to complete the missed work in the yellow folder. The absent work is placed on the shelf in the front office of the school for parents to pick up after 3 p.m. Changing groups, transitions. The teacher gives a verbal announcement of 5 minutes left before changing centers, lessons, activities, etc. When it is time to change, a variety of methods are used. 1. Play music. 2. Snap or clap rhythm pattern led by teacher. 3. A bell is rung. Students know what these different signals mean and make the change quickly and quietly. If the teacher is out of the classroom, students remain on task while the teacher is out of the room. Classroom rules and procedures are followed as they continue their work. The classroom aide or a teacher next door is available for help if needed. Daily closing message. At the end of the day, the class reads the daily closing message, a short summary of the day's events. One child is chosen to read this message to the class as everyone else follows along. The daily closing message is prepared by the teacher during the day and then photocopied for each student to share with their parents that evening. This communication tool is a great way for teachers to keep parents aware of upcoming events, important information, and the children's day in school. Saying thank you. At all times, remember to say thank you to one another. Along with thank you, please should also be used at all times. End of class dismissal. The bell does not dismiss the class. The teacher dismisses the class. Students are dismissed when called upon either individually or by groups. Transportation. Students follow the school's rules and classroom's procedures even when riding in vehicles on school outings. When walking to or from the school bus or a car, the procedures for the halls are followed. Students stay seated while on the bus or